Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Eileen Ray Perez, digital journalism innovator, assistant vice president, and deputy head of integrated news social media at GMA Network. GMA is the Philippines' leading broadcasting company with the top-rated TV programs. Eileen spent 11 years in journalism, creating award-winning documentaries and telling compelling stories as a TV producer. Then in 2014, she crossed over to digital, creating meme journalism for her education series, Dapat Toto, Truth is a Must. The campaign made GMA Network the first Filipino broadcasting company to win the Gold Award worldwide in Asia for best in audience engagement at the 2022 Digital Media Asia Awards. This year, the project also won the Innovation Award for Online Election Campaign Philippines in the first Asia Pacific Broadcasting Plus Awards. Eileen has a proven track record in growing social communities, crafting compelling stories tailored for different media channels, and designing data-backed business development strategies. She increased GMA Public Affairs online following from 2 million to more than 160 million followers. Currently, her team handles more than 100 online platforms with more than 211 million strong followers. With such an impressive track record of accomplishments, I've asked Eileen to join us here today to help us understand how to better serve our communities and tell our stories online. So Eileen, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Daryl. I'm good.
Great to have you here. Really impressive track record, obviously. I know even you seemed a little surprised yourself when we talked about even doing this interview, about the journey that you've had. And before we jump into any of that, though, I want to know about your background. Like, how did you even get on and involved in television and broadcasting and marketing, essentially? Were your family in the industry? Is this a family business?
No, actually, my family is, we have a lot of doctors and nurses, Filipinos. So we have a lot of nurses and doctors in the family. But I have one aunt who's actually a print journalist. She used to be a writer, and she's actually one of my inspirations. But she retired early when she married my uncle in the US. So after that, I was quite fascinated with writing. And I started writing when I was in elementary. I joined contests. And then in high school, I also joined some writing contests. And then in college, I got involved with the university paper, the Varsitarian. And that began my, I began my journey with the journalism, with the, my experience in the Varsitarian. I was a sports writer and then eventually became a sports editor. And then after that, we used to joke around in our friend circle and we were like, oh, so I'm major in communication arts, master in Varsitarian. So it's like that, because we spent more time in the university paper than studying communication arts, because in the university, it's like communication arts is more focused on advertising. So when I graduated, I was like, I thought I was someone whose my path will be in advertising. So I started as a copywriter, but then eventually when I became a copywriter for an advertising company, I was like, oh, this is good. This is, I enjoy writing for taglines and for brands. But then I realized that, oh, I still like journalism. And I had some gigs with some mainstream papers and I had them, I contributed in some newspapers, but there was this one time I always shifted in advertising companies. And then after that, it was like I resigned and then I had 3 months. I spent 3 months looking for a job, advertising companies and PR companies. And I was like, oh, I think this is not the thing for me. And then I applied for newspapers and media companies. And I applied before for GMA as a copywriter because I thought I was in advertising. I actually got until the, I got through the third stage, I think. I thought I got in. But then I remember the interviewer was like telling me, oh, you have a nice portfolio, but most of it are in print and you need more experience on television. And I was like, oh, but how can I have experience in television
if you won't give me the job?
So I was like, okay. I was like very frustrated at that time. And then during the 3 months, it was a very reflective period for me. And then my friend was working for this television program for Jessica Soho. It was Jessica Soho Reports in 2003. She was looking for someone to go with her, and she was doing this investigative story. And I was, okay, I have all the free time in the world, and I can go with you for free. We don't have any wiretapping laws back then. So it was okay if you go for an investigative story and then you pretend. It's playing pretend. And I was like, let's say, for example, we're looking for investigative stories. Say, I forgot the case study at that time, but I had fun looking for case studies and asking people in poor areas and pretending to be someone I'm not so that I can get the story. But once that we get the story, we tell them that, oh, we are researchers, and then my friend takes over. And I did that for almost a month. And then until my friend told me, hey, there's an opening. The researcher just resigned, and there's an opening in our program. And I entered. And then that was it. That was the start of my journey in GMA. I started as a researcher for Jessica Soho Reports. It was a news magazine show, but more primarily it was investigative. We were doing investigative stuff. So it was fun and very hard.
Why was it so hard?
Because it was an investigative show. And sometimes we're asked to look for interviewees who are very uncommon. Like, you cannot look for them if you're searching for them, like in Facebook. You cannot ask for, hey, are you a rapist? Or do you sell drugs? So, do you sell drugs? So it's not easy. So you need to have, you need to be street smart. And I grew up in a family who's very strict. So my family didn't even allow me to go out like after 7 p.m. until college. They didn't allow me to go out. I was the kind of child, I lived the sheltered childhood. When I was in college, I made sure that the course that I will take will be something that will involve a lot of traveling and talking to people. So when I became a campus journalist, it was a perfect opportunity for me to explore. And being a journalist is also something that I always wanted to do, because I like exploring and I like telling stories and I like knowing other people's stories as well. So when I joined Jessica Soho Reports, it was hard because we're not researchers. We're actually magicians. We're magicians. So they don't take no for an answer. So yeah, I learned a lot from that experience.
And so moving along, when you go online, did you have the intent? Like, hey, I'm going to go online and invent meme journalism. Like, what's the story behind that?
When I was offered the job for a social media manager, I thought, okay, my only background in social media was I did blogs before, not vlogs, okay, blogs. I used to write blogs before in WordPress. So, because I like telling stories. So every day I used to write blogs about my experience as a TV producer. And then when I came to digital, I think they only hired me because first, I was the only one who's very visible in social media. So I was like everywhere. I was like on Facebook, Twitter, Plurk at that time. I had Plurk and Instagram.
Plurk. I remember Plurk.
Yeah.
I wasn't on there much, but I remember it.
Yeah. So I like trying out new stuff. And so when I went to social media, I thought it would be easy, but I just realized that managing your own social media account is very different from managing official accounts.
Right.
Because with your own social media account, you can just rant or say anything that you want to say, and then nobody will care. Or people will care, of course, if they're curious about you. But for official show accounts, it's like you cannot just say anything. It's like you always have to think about the brand. You have to think about the hosts. You have to think about your network. So with meme journalism, I just want to make it clear that I'm not the one who invented it, but I think my team, we're the first ones who used it in mainstream media here in the Philippines. Because before, GMA, my network, is a very traditional network, known for getting awards for our documentaries and hard-hitting stories and news. We have very impressive record of awards for our work in documentaries and serious stuff. So when we introduced meme journalism, when it was not even a term, I'd like to think that we were met with a lot of, I'd say, raised eyebrows, because it was like, people were thinking, oh, why talk about the elections using memes? I used to think like that, of course, because I was also a documentarist before, and I used to believe that when you present facts and hard information, it should always be straight. And I have this partner, I have this staff, who was also my partner at work. He taught me that, no, memes are not stupid. You need to engage our audience. And these memes, even if they're funny, it gets people and it makes people interested in your page. Mm-hmm. With that thought, I was, okay, I observed our pages, I observed our posts, and little by little, we tried to adapt. And even our flagship shows, we tried to put some engaging content, and we changed our tone into a conversational tone. And we added more entertaining posts. And at first, our hardcore followers were like, oh, public affairs, why are you doing this? Is this really the tone of GMA? Right. And then they're just like 5% of our followers.
Right. And there's always trolls everywhere. You can't do anything online without somebody trolling. That's engagement, so bless them.
Yes. And most of the people who are saying that, oh, look, public affairs is already doing something, and the admin or the one who manages the page is actually young. Oh, admin is talking to us. And then with the positive feedback, we use that to prove to the management that, hey, this is working, and we're having more followers. And even if it's not directly affecting the ratings, but people are now more interested in interacting with your show. Especially for the young people. Most young people are in social media now. So, yeah, it's a good way to introduce our brand to different audiences.
So meme journalism was talking about news and trending topics in a funny, engaging, and conversational tone. It's news, but entertaining at the same time.
Yes. And when you say meme journalism, it's not actually making fun of news. So, of course, there's a thin line, there's a fine line between sarcasm and entertainment. If you're handling a brand such as our network, of course, there are rules. And of course, you have to think about the credibility of the people that you're working with. So if we're doing memes, it should be funny, engaging, yes, but it doesn't need to be below the belt. But the difference with our brand and the trolls is that trolls, they can do anything. They can have engagement, of course, because they can, we're free game for these people. But for us, it's always a challenge because we have our limitations, and we even if we ourselves, when I talk to my staff, it's always, oh, this is funny. And then, but we cannot publish it because it's too much. So it's always a challenge, and it needs a good amount of editorial judgment. So everyone can do it. So, and some people, especially the veterans or the traditional ones, when they hear meme journalism, they think it's shallow journalism or fluff journalism. Of course, yes, I won't deny it's fluff.
Right.
But right now, the times are changing. And I think the way that we communicate should also change. Yeah, facts will always remain. But the way that you communicate, as communicators, you should adapt to the way that people receive your message. Right.
So can you speak to the traditional versus the new way? So give some contrast for the listeners that maybe they don't work in broadcasting. So they just help them understand the contrast between traditional versus what you feel is the new way to communicate.
When you say traditional, we still do it. Like for our serious programs or hard news programs, when you say traditional, it's you say the facts as it is.
Right.
You say the facts straight. I mean, when you post, say, flood announcements or flood warnings, you just state, oh, there's a flood. Everyone, mga kapuso, or you should be careful because these are the flood warnings for today. And then you say, signal number for the typhoon. If there's a typhoon, right, there's a signal number, blah, blah, blah. But if you say meme journalism or the new way of announcing it, it's, say, for example, there's a warning about the typhoon. Walang pasok or there's no classes. And mm-hmm. then people need to take care. Then maybe we can post a meme. We can post a meme of someone, I don't know, maybe, wait, I'm thinking of...
Eight people sharing one umbrella or something. Like when your kids are home from school because it's signal one or something like that.
Yes.
That, or maybe, is that, yeah?
Or maybe not swimming, but Drake. Or maybe you're the famous Drake meme.
Yeah, the yes and the no. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. Go out without umbrella. No. And then with umbrella.
Got it.
Right. So like that.
Yeah. Having some flair, some personality, some attitude. Yeah. And I think it's a lot of work because you have to convey a lot in the graphic. It's almost it's almost like trying to organize the storefront, like the, I forget what they're called now, it escapes me, but every store, they got the window that, I forget there's a term for it, but when you go to the mall, that front spot is like their billboard. And so there's just a lot of work that goes into a meme. It's not just sit down and do a meme, at least in my experience. It's do 20, and then maybe you got to do another 20 more, and then maybe you got one or two good ones, right? Yeah.
And you need it to be, you need to make it witty. Because if it's not witty, it's like you're trying too hard, and then people will just be like, oh, GMA, just go to sleep. The straight news. So you need to make it engaging. Memes are especially very important now that there's an upcoming barangay and youth election. It's something that we can also explore. So for journalists, a lot of vloggers and influencers are already using memes, but for mainstream media, it's not yet something that, there are rules, of course. And of course, you have to think about the bosses, the age of the bosses. So, yes.
But I think this is a really important topic to talk about because, like, not only do you have to make the meme, but a good meme in it has to, like you said, it has to be witty. And for people, that wittiness is one, to get their attention, two, to cause a reaction, and three, to make them want to share it too. That's, I think, a really important part, that it has to be something, and that's the art. That's the art part of it. You are creating art, and it has to be a kind of art where people want to click that share button. Like it makes them laugh, and then they want to share it with other people. Because if it's just a straight fact, there's no emotion in it. So you have to hit an emotional button. Forgive me, I haven't built a following of 211 million followers, but I feel like that's probably an element to it, that being able to trigger that share response.
Yes. Actually, when we did the Truth is a Must campaign last year for the national elections, it was hard because at first, we tried to convince people to do TikTok. We used this song. It said it's catchy. It's like an earworm. If you're going to listen to it, it's an earworm because it always say, in Tagalog, it's dapat totoo kung ikaw ay boboto. In English, it's if you're going to vote, you must vote for the truth, or you must choose. So that's the English translation. And then it just goes on and on. And then it's hard to convince people to dance the version. So we needed to ask the help of some influencers. And then these influencers, and the greatest influencer that we were able to convince was the sex bomb dancers. So the sex bomb dancers are like pop icons for Filipinos. Okay. When our audience saw the sex bomb dancers dancing to our election campaign, some more people joined, actually, the challenge, the dance challenge. So if you're going to look at it, people will say, oh, why choose dance? Because how does dance contribute to the elections? And the results of the elections is still, it depends on your political leanings, okay? When people ask me, what's the sense of doing a dance challenge during the elections when the results that you want to achieve, depending on who is the candidate you're trying to, it depends on the candidate you're trying to support. Right. For us, we don't support anyone. As journalists, we're not inclined to say yes. So when people ask me what's the sense of doing a dance challenge, it's, oh, but at least people are aware of that when you vote, you should look for someone who is credible. You should always opt for the truth. So even for the young people who danced the challenge, it was like, oh, okay. So when I vote, there's like a subconscious thing going on there. And we So we also did this when we also launched the 24 Horas, the 24-hour challenge for our flagship news program. We also did the teleprompter challenge. It was also successful because instead of launching our news program like straight up, oh, hey, we have a TikTok account for our flagship news program. We didn't just announce that. We announced it in such a way that, hey, we have a TikTok account and then these newscasters have this teleprompter challenge. They're asking you to participate and you can be a newscaster on TikTok, even on your own account. And then using the hashtag 24 Horas Challenge, it was very successful because I think it garnered more than 57 million likes at that
time. Wow.
Oh, 57
so
million.
This is a 24-hour teleprompter challenge?
Yeah, the 24 Horas is the name of the newscast.
Okay.
And the challenge was a teleprompter challenge, but the hashtag that we use is 24 Horas Challenge. Okay. And the views were like more than 57 million.
But what was the challenge? What was the challenge itself?
You read, a newscaster will ask you, hey, do you want to be a newscaster? Join the 24 Horas Challenge. So read the news and then join the teleprompter challenge. And then you can read the news using a teleprompter on your screen. And then you will do it on TikTok. So when you do the 24 Horas Duet Challenge, when you do that, people get the opportunity to see, can I be a newscaster? And then after that, they will be like, okay, we publish that. And then when we see the hashtag, they use the hashtag. And then when we see that, sometimes they get published. And then it fosters a sense of community.
A sense of community. Yeah, a fun way to get people involved.
Yes. And it's a good way to reintroduce our brand, actually. Because people know about 24 Horas as a news program. It's a primetime news program. And it airs on primetime. But the kids, they don't actually watch television. They just look at the news via Twitter. More young people watch news on social. So why don't we just, when we did the challenge, when we launched the 24 Horas TikTok, we said that, maybe we can maximize TikTok so that we can let young people know about our brand. Those people who don't watch 24 Horas will be more aware. So that's how we use social media and memes and the trending platforms to our advantage as news social media team.
I love this. I love this a lot. Now, what would you recommend to someone that's starting out and maybe struggling to try and figure out, maybe they've got a salon or who knows what? Maybe they're a business coach. Maybe they've got Buco juice for sale. How do they get in on this kind of new way of, I don't want to say meme journalism. How do they start being more engaging and building of a community? These are fantastic campaigns that you've mentioned.
First of all, you need to be on the platform. So there's no sense of wishing and imagining things if you're not on the platform. And even if you're on the platform, most of the people that's asking me, what are your tips? Or how do you do this? And then I ask them, do you post? No, actually, I don't post. I just lurk. I just watch the TikToks. And I don't dance. I don't sing. That's what I usually hear. And then I was like, no, you don't need to dance. You don't need to sing if it's not your personality. You just need to be yourself. First, if you're an entrepreneur, you need to get your product out there. Think of something that you like to do. Think of something that feels natural to you. Because, of course, your audience, whatever you do, whatever you post on TikTok, you, Daryl, you can have your own TikTok. You can open your TikTok. And then after that, you can dance. But it can be cringy if it's not your personality.
Yeah, that's so not the attention that you want.
Who's this Canadian guy doing dances on dance challenges on TikTok, but he's not really good. And he calls himself a business coach. Why will I follow him? Needs to be something that feels authentic for you. And then you need to be on the platform. Second, you need to be authentic. You need to do something that's authentic and it feels good for you. It feels real for you because you cannot post anything that is forced. And people, your audience, people who see you on their newsfeed, they will always know if what you're doing is you're forced to do something because it's the trend or if it's not authentic. And people hate people who are not...
aren't real. They're not real. They're fake.
People are fake, yeah. So that's two. And then three, of course, you need to respect the platform. You need to respect and master the platform. Those are two different things. First, respect the platform. You don't say, oh, TikTok are just for kids. It's just for kids. You don't do that. Of course, most of the audience on TikTok are kids. And kids, of course, when they see people who are above 20 years old doing TikToks, they're like, oh, what are these old people doing on TikTok? So let's just go to Discord. There are more people here, so let's go to Discord or whatever. So you need to respect that. And then you need to know your audience, of course. Mm-hmm. If your audience is like, if you want to target young people, you go on TikTok. If you want to target young people, but it's just for so that they know your brand, they know, oh, Daryl is a business coach and I want to learn more because I want to have my own business. Right. So go on TikTok, and then you need to study the platform. You need to look at other creators who are like you, so that you can, of course, look at what works. It's not enough that before you go on the platform first, and then you create content. It can be viral or it cannot be. You can create like 100 content, but it's not viral. But right. Keep on creating content, because just one viral post, you don't know who's watching. And then, right. Of course, you need to do your due diligence. You need to master the platform. So to master the platform, you need to watch other creators, what they're doing. And then necessarily imitating them, but at least you have an idea of what to do and how to do it better. So how to execute it in a much better way. Right. So that's what we did, of course, with the public affairs, because we imagine in 2014, it's just 2 million.
Yeah.
And then now it's more than like 140 plus million added with news. So when now I also handle news, so it's now like more than 200, it's 211 million and counting. It's a lot of responsibility.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's a big difference, because with 2 million or even with just like 100 followers, say for example, 100 followers, you can do anything because it's just like few people watching you, right. And not everyone sees your content. But as soon as you grow your audience, the more audience that you have, the more responsibility that yep. you have with your audience. So yep. you can't just keep on doing the same content all the time. You need to innovate. You mm-hmm. need to think of better things. You can't do, if you look at the best creators, especially the business coaches on TikTok, on Instagram, they're not doing the same content per platform. They actually think of it. They think hard and they have a content plan. Going on a social media platform is also a big responsibility. So maybe that's also one of the reasons why most people would rather, you know, just sell in their own comfort mm-hmm. space and comfort mm-hmm. zone, and just depend on the traditional way of marketing and right. boost their pages.
I think there's room for both. I talk about this with my team. Like, there's the unknown universe, the known universe.
Yes.
You've got your leads and sales, so to speak, in marketing. And the unknown universe is that you don't know how many people might actually be out there. And then the known universe is things you can see, downloads, reach, engagement, likes, all that. And then you've got your leads or sales, and leads, there's different quality leads, at least in business. A lead could be a visitor to your website. A lead could be someone that applies for a quote, or a lead mm-hmm. could be someone that signs up to your list, or a lead could even be someone that subscribes to your social media following potentially. And then, yes. of course, there's different degrees. The traditional is at least a lead, a marketing qualified lead, a sales qualified lead. And even then, there's prospect, lead, marketing qualified lead, sales qualified lead. And then you've got your customers. So it sounds like, to this respect, a lot of businesses die because nobody knows that they exist. If a tree falls in yes. the woods and no one is there, does it make a sound? If you've got the world's greatest product and service, but nobody knows you exist, are you going to sell any of your products? So it sounds like a lot of this is trying to use the memes for a way that's somewhat related. It doesn't even have to be perfectly related. You had the teleprompter news, that's somewhat related. You're just trying to get a lot of the reach out there. Jingle and the dance challenge, that I really liked, because it's like you came up with something catchy. You came mm-hmm. up with a challenge, and then you went and got some of the leaders in the space to get the fire, to light the fire, so to speak. And then you get everybody mm-hmm. else doing it with you. It sounds like a lot of fun and experimenting, and not necessarily everything is a home run.
Yes, but actually what I forgot to say is this experimenting is fun, but there's one sure way, there's one formula that can actually lead to your success, and that is knowing your data. you need to learn how to read the data. Because during our first years in public affairs or in social media, during my first years in social media, I'm not actually a math person. I'm more of a creative writing person. And you can ask me to do a documentary all day, but for me to just look at a chart for 5 minutes, like numbers, they make me bored. But when you're working in social media, and if you want to use social media to your advantage, you need to look at the analytics. So no matter how many posts you upload, if you don't study your data, if you don't look at your analytics and look at the things and the posts that earn more engagement, and then do more of the posts that engage people, then you'll just be shooting, you're just shooting blanks.
Right.
Because you're just doing all the effort and then you don't know what's working. This is the reason why there's memes, okay? There's something called meme journalism, because memes get the engagement.
Right.
Earn more likes, more reactions, more comments, and they get more shares. But my philosophy is that once we get the engagement, once we get the awareness, and then who knows, in between, when we put the serious stuff, when we put the serious message in between our memes, then some of these people who like memes, and there's a study in Reuters, the most recent digital news report from Reuters said that more people are going on social and they're looking for news that are positive because they have news fatigue. It's actually based on a study. So for us, from mainstream media, there's no sense in bombarding people with bad news because nobody will just get blocked. People will just unfollow us. So it's like you put a perfect balance of what works, and then in between, you put, okay, but hey guys, okay, after we have some fun, okay, this is happening to the country. You need to look at this. And then some people might skip it, yes, but at least just one, two people who read it and then get affected and act on it. And if it creates proper discourse, then it's a win for us. Yeah. So for you, say, for example, for entrepreneurs, you put memes. You can use memes if they are the ones that engage your audience. But in between, you can, because people don't like direct selling unless they're looking for you.
Right.
Okay? For life coaching, people will just say, oh, why will I pay for people who will coach me when I have my friends? Right. I have a very good advisor here, my mom. So why will I pay for someone like Daryl? He's expensive. My mom, she's for free.
Yeah.
So how do you convince them? Okay, you just give them content that's for free, something that's relatable. And then look at your analytics, what's working. What do you think are the messages that hit people, that hits the spot? And then do more of those messages. And then maybe you can find your niche. And then after that, you do more of them. And then eventually people will be, oh, what are you doing? Hi, Daryl. I want to ask you a little about how do I start my business? Because
case studies and stories, personal stories are phenomenal for that.
Yes.
You tell people stories, star story solution. That's a really good formula to help with that. And case studies are very engaging for people. But I love what you're talking about. What do you feel is the future and where things are going? Now we have AI. There's AI detection. There's a lot of, there's deep fake videos. Where do you think things are going to be in 5-10 years? How do we prepare for that?
First of all, people need, and I'm talking about journalists and people who want to be on, who are already on social, who are actually afraid of AI, and they're saying that, oh, AI I will lose my job because of AI, or AI will rule the world. It's like Terminator or whatever. Right. First of all, you need to learn AI. You need to try out these tools. AI are tools. Okay? Generative AI, they're scary for people who don't know how to use them. Of course, this is the perfect time for us to use generative AI and to play around with it, because it's still starting and they're still perfecting the AI thing. Of course, a lot of people are now becoming more and more. It's more challenging now for more people to identify which is AI and which is disinformation. Right. Or which is the real thing. So especially with ChatGPT around, we can actually write an article and then say that, oh, this is my kind of writing. Even people who don't know how to write
Right.
Anything can now be like writers.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. 100%.
ChatGPT. But for people who have skills, you will only be disrupted if you allow yourself to stay on your on the way things are. If you just keep on doing things the traditional way, if you refuse, of course, social media in the future, I think social media will still be there, but it will be improved with AI. It will be improved and with more people and with younger people mastering the craft of, imagine AI with social media, generative AI with other forms of arts and marketing. If you combine that and then young people are already using it, it will be awesome in the future because it will make things easier. It will actually streamline more work. It will streamline jobs. And there will just be, I think you will not lose your job if you manage to adapt, because there will be new jobs available. The present way of doing things will be obsolete because of these new technologies. That's why it's important for us not to be afraid of them, but to actually embrace them with excitement. Because if you just say, oh, AI is here, this is scary, oh, I'm going to lose my job, I'm a journalist, AI will be the new newscaster or whatever, I don't think so. So as a journalist, facts and the human mind is still something. AI was invented by humans. And there will always be smart people trying to look for ways on how to negate smart AI, intelligent AI. So while AI is still in its infancy, I suggest that we hop on it and we try it and we learn how to use it and be friends with it.
Yeah.
Because eventually, if we don't learn it in its early stages, then we will be left crying.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Crying in the future. And I was like, oh, you can't just use your money and hire people who know AI. I mean, you need to learn how to do it. It's like, yeah, you need to adapt. You need to evolve or else you will dissolve.
100%. I agree. I think it's like with accountants and bookkeepers and calculators. You said it great. AI is just a tool. Where you had accountants and bookkeepers, and before they would have to do the math themselves. And you had productive people and not so productive people. And then calculators came out. And now the productive people became more productive, and the non-productive people lost an excuse for why it was taking them so long. Right.
Yes.
And like you say, there are new jobs. I mean, everything, we're already cyborgs right now. Like, I'm not speaking to you in person. Right.
Yes.
We're still using our mouths and ears and eyes.
Yes.
But I'm speaking to you through a microphone that's sending my voice to the other side of the country. That's so crazy. So again, like you say, they're tools, and we can either just sit and wait and be made obsolete. Right?
Yes.
Books today, you wouldn't want to be in the business of selling fax machines today. That would be a tough sell. Right.
In yes. The day of yes.
Video calls and email and digital file transfer, fax machines just maybe not.
Yeah.
Not a good business strategy. So you do have to stay abreast of what's happening. And I think the solution is to pursue excellence.
Yes.
Because things will change, right? Markets are unknown and unknowable. If I asked you how many people are shopping for a car today, it's tough to know. You can find like indicators, but you don't know the real number. It's unknown and unknowable. We can see trends maybe and indicators, but if I just focus on making the best vehicle, the most excellent vehicle for a specific type of person, or for families, for a guy trying to show off his status, the problems are markets. So if I just focus on being excellent at solving a problem, I think that will see you through. And as you focus on the excellence, obviously you have to innovate and stay abreast of cutting edge technology and that chasing, pursuing excellence. But the problem is that you can't just relax, right? You can't just get comfortable. That I think that's the challenge. People talk about getting outside their comfort zone, which is great to say when you're comfortable, but it can be a challenge. I'm sure for you in your career, there was uncomfortable moments. And like you were talking about having to go show your bosses, like, look, this is working. But before you had the proof, you had to trust yourself and you maybe had some doubt and hesitation and fear and people saying things that making you feel like it was a scary thing. It was uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of failures, the wins, they're just obvious because we post them. But of course, we don't post about the failures.
Right.
There are more failures than wins, of course. But of course, we bank on the wins.
Right.
Because failures, nobody talks about them.
Right.
It's like there are hundreds of proposals, and then the bosses said, okay, just do it. And then when it fails, oh, sorry, okay, we try again another day. It's
right.
Process of not quitting, because right. if you, okay, that's it. And
yep.
And when you say innovate and adapt, I think for more people who are older, like veterans or people who already winning, being knowledgeable and winning awards can make you complacent as well. Mm-hmm. It can make you arrogant because you think that since you got this award or you're already known in this industry for being a very good journalist and you've been famous because of this type of reporting, you think that you are the gold standard. But then most people forget, it's not just in journalism, okay? It can also be in marketing or wherever. Just because you have this kind of credibility or
Just because you accomplished this yesterday doesn't mean
accomplishment.
That you, yeah, doesn't mean tomorrow's guaranteed.
Yes. And this is a different time. The trends are changing. The way that you communicate is changing. And what I noticed, I'm just talking about journalists, okay? What I noticed about some of my colleagues who already stayed longer in the job, who've been in the job for quite some time. And some of my seniors, what I've noticed about them is that, social media is ruining journalism. Social media is the enemy. Or I don't need to learn that because people need to read or people need to be like this. But I think, of course, I agree. But again, they're sticking to the things that they like, the things that worked before. But right now, the times are changing. What worked before will not work before. It will not work now. So what worked before may not work now. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, what's working now may not work tomorrow. So yep. It's always a constant.
Yeah, change is constant. Change is constant. 100%.
Change is constant. And it needs a little bit of, no, it needs a lot of humility on our part to accept the fact that, hey, I need to learn more. Because sometimes most people, they just hide behind the excuse of, oh, I have social media, it's just for kids.
Yeah.
But humility is just, oh, I don't want to learn social media because I've spent like 20 years learning how to do documentaries and writing this kind of article.
Yep.
But now I need to learn social media. Why? I don't need to prove anything. I'm rich. Just because of that kind of mentality, then those people who are spreading fake news those people who are purveyors of disinformation, they are now having a heyday because they are now having more advantage on these platforms because they are the ones who are there. They are taking advantage of the fact that the veterans,
they have the attention.
They are not paying attention or they're just too lazy to learn the new platforms.
Yep.
It's sad.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The attention is the really important thing. You have to get and hold people's attention and try to convey your message succinctly as possible. This is, Eileen, you've given some great nuggets. This is a fantastic place for a lot of people to start. I've got a couple pages of notes. I do want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything I haven't asked you about this that I should have asked you?
Perhaps about the humility. I just want to stress the humility with people who have been in the industry for so long. It's not just, I'm not talking about journalism per se, but people who have been in marketing, advertising, especially if you've been in the industry for so long, you tend to think that these new types of communication, these trending topics, these platforms, social media platforms are just for fun. They are hobbies. Mm-hmm. When actually social media is changing the world.
It is.
It has changed the results of elections. It has changed a lot of, it has been a major player in important discourse. It has created a lot of important discourse. And a lot of people are now misinformed and a lot of people don't know how to identify what's real from what's not. And I'm not even talking about AI. I'm just talking
in general.
About,
influencers.
Yeah. I hope that the people who know journalism, who know marketing, who know business coaching, those people who have experience, please try to keep abreast with what's trending. And since we are communicators, we all communicate we should learn how to use these new platforms. We should learn how to master them because without our expertise in these platforms, then people who are not really very good at identifying what's fake or not
right.
will not be able to have a
misled.
choice.
Yeah, it'll be easy for
yes.
them. Yeah.
There is very low trust in news. There is very low trust in people who are already credible, who have built their name around this industry. I hope that these people, my colleagues, and even those who are older than me, those who have built their name again in the industry, I hope that we have more time and we have more space to accept and learn and master these platforms, because these platforms need more people like us. So we don't want this information to win. And I'm not just talking again, I'm not just talking
right.
about journalism, okay? We want this information to win. So more experts need to be on these platforms, even if the kids say that, oh, the old people are now here on TikTok, so we need to transfer. If they transfer, we need to transfer too.
Yep.
Because
yeah.
Young people, they are the most susceptible
yeah.
to this information, and they need us. We need to share our knowledge. So
yeah.
we need to have the humility and make the world a better place. Again, one post at a time.
I agree so much. And that's so well said. And the experts have to be there, and the experts actually need to confront each other. There's actually a formula for science proposed by Karl Popper, one of the best science educators. It was P1 plus TS plus EE equals P2. P1, problem one, plus temporary solution, plus eliminate the errors of your solution, it equals problem two. Or if you don't solve the problem, at least you've learned more and you come up with a new temporary solution. And it's a cyclical process. And so how do you eliminate errors? You eliminate errors through observation, through experimentation, through data collection and analyzing the data, through speaking to other people with experience on the topic. Like you say, if there's an absence of experts, there's only one voice on a topic, that is real danger. What if there are errors in that? And Albert Einstein said, the level of thinking that got you to where you are won't, I'm paraphrasing, the level of thinking that got you here won't get you to the next level. That's because the level of thinking that got you here, but now you have new problems, right?
Yes.
At the end of every solution is a new problem.
Yes.
And so that's a cyclical process. But what we really need, I think, like you said, is we need experts and people to be there and to be engaged in the discussion. And another thing I learned from you is it's very interactive. It's not just broadcasting radio signals. It's engaging and interacting with people and ideas. You know, you shelf the 5% of trolls that are just, they're always there. Bless them. We need diversity. You try to focus on having the real conversation and engaging people and awareness. And I think what you've done is really fantastic. I'm obviously going to try to upgrade what I'm doing based on what you said. And knowing that you have people helping manage hundreds of accounts, you've got a big team yourself. I'm just so grateful that you came here to help share with myself and my audience when you have already so much on your plate and so many people to educate through your channel. So thank you so much.
Thank you also, Daryl. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our learnings.
Yes.
I always like going on these kinds of speaking engagements because it's something that we can share what we've learned. And it's right. I know in a few years' time, what I'm saying will be obsolete and it will be. Again, thank you for giving us the platform.
Yeah. And if people want to reach out, if they have questions, if they want to engage, is there anywhere you would direct them to? What's the best place for them to contact or reach out?
You can always reach me on LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. So you can just reach me on Instagram. You can have me like...
What's your handle?
MS Aileen Rae, AILENRAE. And for LinkedIn, it's Aileen Rae Perez. So you just look for me on LinkedIn and Instagram. You can always reach me there.
So that's AILENRAE. PEREZ or Z.
Yes.
Aileen Rae Perez on LinkedIn. And for Instagram, it was Aileen Rae.
MS Aileen Rae. Miss Aileen Rae.
Got it. MS Aileen Rae. Again, Aileen, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. We'll put links to that in the show notes. Thank you so much. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I am so grateful for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, everyone.